Crime Alert. I'm Nancy Grace, breaking crime news now.
The jury deliberates a third day in the Sean Combs sex trafficking trial.
Straight out to Drew Nelson for the latest in the courtroom. Drew, what's happening?
Nancy, the jury ending its first full day of deliberations in the federal sex trafficking and racketeering trial without reaching a final verdict, but they're getting closer. After more than 12 hours across 2 days, jurors sent a note to Judge Arun Subramanian late Tuesday saying they had reached a decision on 4 counts but remained deadlocked on the racketeering conspiracy charge. They wrote that they were unanimous on counts 2 through 5. 2 sex trafficking charges, and 2 counts of transporting women for prostitution. But they said there were, quote, unpersuadable opinions on both sides about count 1. The judge declined to take a partial verdict. Instead, he instructed the panel to keep going. Both the prosecution and defense supported Subramanian, telling them, quote, discuss and weigh your respective opinions dispassionately. No juror should surrender his or her conscientious beliefs for the purpose of returning a unanimous verdict. Combs, 55, faces life in prison if convicted of racketeering. The charge requires jurors to find that he joined a criminal enterprise, committed at least 2 qualifying crimes, and that those crimes affected interstate or foreign commerce. Earlier in the day, jurors sent multiple notes. One asked if giving someone drugs when they ask for them counted as distribution. Subramanian answered by pointing to the jury instructions, which said that, quote, distribution does not require a sale. The defense objected, but the judge denied their request to revise the wording. Jurors also requested part of Cassie Ventura's testimony, including the 2016 assault at the Intercontinental Hotel in Los Angeles, the 2013 trip to Cannes, and her interactions with male escort Daniel Phillip. Ventura testifying that Combs beat her, threatened her, and forced her into sex acts during the so-called freak-offs. Phillips describing similar events, saying he was paid to have sex with Ventura while Combs watched, directed, and filmed. He said that during one encounter at the Essex Hotel in New York, he heard Ventura crying and Combs slapping her. Outside the courthouse, Combs' family members could be seen coming and going. Supporters were handing out T-shirts that read, quote, a freako is not a rico. Inside the courtroom, Combs appearing anxious, at one point leaning toward his mother and whispering, quote, just relax, it's going to be all right. Outside of federal court, a new civil suit has been filed against Combs. A man accuses him of drugging and raping him at a party in 2021. The man claims he drank champagne at the party and blacked out. When he woke up, someone was unbuttoning his pants. A voice said, quote, you're about to get that Diddy love. The suit alleged that Combs sexually assaulted him despite his protest. The jury was dismissed just before 5 p.m. They are set to return at 9 a.m. If they don't reach a verdict by the end of the day, court will recess for the July 4th holiday.
Thanks, Drew. More crime and justice news after this.
Barry Morphew is back in Colorado to face a murder charge in the death of his wife, Suzanne, whose remains were found last year after she'd vanished Mother's Day of 2020. He was arrested in Arizona. A hearing was set for today. Suzanne disappeared after reportedly going for a bike ride, her bike later found down a ravine. Barry suggested she may have been kidnapped, but friends told police the couple was having trouble and that Suzanne may have had a boyfriend in another state. A drug used to sedate large animals was found in her system. Records show that Barry, as a big game hunter, was one of the only individuals not a veterinarian to have access to the drug. New information in the case of 14-year-old Emily Pike. The Pinal County Medical Examiner says her autopsy indicates she died from blunt force trauma to the head before her body was dismembered and dumped in garbage bags along a remote stretch of Highway 60 in Arizona. The full report remains sealed. Emily was a member of the San Carlos Apache tribe. She vanished January 27th of 2024 after slipping out a window of a group home in Mesa. On February 14th, workers found her remains north of Globe, nearly 100 miles from where she was last seen. Her torso and head were inside one bag. Her legs were inside another. Her arms and hands have never been recovered. A Queens, New York man is sentenced to 25 years to life for the 2022 stabbing murder of FDNY EMS Captain Allison Russo, who was a 9/11 first responder. A jury found Peter Zizopoulos guilty of second-degree murder and weapons charges. Russo, age 61, was in uniform and on duty in Astoria when she stepped out of her station house to grab some lunch. Zizopoulos rushed her, shoved her to the ground, and stabbed her 20 times. She died at Mount Sinai, Queens. Surveillance footage captured the
stabbing. A bloody knife was found in Zizopoulos' pocket. DNA on the weapon matched both him and Russo. Russo was posthumously promoted to captain. She had served 24 years and helped with recovery efforts after the 9/11 attacks. A section of 42nd Street is now named Captain Allison Russo Way. More than a year after three Kansas City Chiefs fans were found dead of an overdose in the backyard of a home after a football watch party, two men have been charged with murder. Jordan Willis and co-defendant Ivory Blade Carson now face three counts of second-degree felony murder and one count of drug distribution. The victims, Clayton McGinney, 36, David Harrington, 37, and Ricky Johnson, 38, were found dead in Willis's backyard on January 9th of 2024. They had gathered at his home to watch the Chiefs play the Chargers January 7th. Family members were understandably worried when they did not come home. McGinney's fiancée found their bodies 2 days later. A medical examiner ruled all three died from a mix of fentanyl and cocaine. Prosecutors say Willis supplied some and Carson supplied more in the days leading up to the deaths. Under Missouri law, someone can face murder charges if a death happens during a felony crime like drug dealing, even if there was no intent to kill.
Thanks, Drew. For the latest crime and justice news, go to crimeonline.com. And please join us for our daily podcast, Crime Stories, where we do our best to find missing people, especially children, and help solve unsolved homicides. With this crime alert, I'm Nancy Grace. This is an iHeart podcast, guaranteed human.